The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and Hallis in your ears. You. Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and Hallis in your ears. You.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back, man. This is 79th and Hallis, episode 173. The guys are back. You know where to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at BarbChairScott, at Flo's Andelini. Of course, you can follow this podcast at 79th and Hallis, and that is A-N-D Hallis on Twitter right now. You can follow us. Shout out to all our new followers, man. We've been getting a shit ton of new followers this week. So I don't know where y'all came from, but we appreciate y'all. And you know where to follow the Barber's Chair Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Net. And also, you can follow the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. It's $5 packages, $10 packages. See what's the best package for you. What's going on, man? How are we feeling? It's a couple weeks after the draft. And, you know what I'm saying, mini camp. We're currently in mini camp right now. How's it feel? I know you got a chance to talk to the Rooks today.
Well, first, I have some urgent news we got to discuss. Justin Fields is our quarterback.
No, I thought something happened. I was like, what the fuck?
No. Something did happen. Our franchise was saved.
That's what's happened.
I got to be honest, man. I guess because as an Ohio State fan, I was used to having – good quarterbacks. Now, of course, I know it didn't translate to the NFL. That's fine. But I was used to high level of quarterback play, but never professionally. So to see someone who I watched as soon as he transferred from Georgia, of course, I didn't pay attention to Georgia because he was behind Jake Fromm, and they allowed him to let him go because they didn't want to put effort into developing him as a quarterback. And that was just a stupid decision. But to see him coming in, like, man, that boy Justin Fields is a monster. You know, look at how he, played the games that he played. I think he had, six games, something like that, a little less. And then look at his high school tape. Boy's a dog. He comes to Ohio State. He's 41-3 in his first year. And I'm not talking about the prototypical Ohio State QB, you know what I mean, which is, you know, run, deep ball. That's about it. But, you know, you don't necessarily see that pro football player in them. Cardell Jones, when we won a national championship, incredible arm. But he only played, you know, meaningful football in those college football playoff games. You had someone like JT Barrett. JT Barrett, of course, set all kinds of records that I think – what's his name? I forgot his name. He went to the Washington football team.
Dwayne Haskins.
I think Dwayne Haskins broke his record, if I'm correct. But, you know, JT Barrett had a great season, but you knew that wasn't going to translate. You just knew it. But Dwayne Haskins was the one person, you're like, maybe this will transfer to NFL? We don't know. Of course, it didn't. But Justin Fields stood out amongst all of them because it's like, he's not a prototypical, you know, Buckeye QB. He wasn't even brought up in the system. You know, this is something he had to learn and something he had to experience. And then you saw his production on the field. You saw his leadership. And then now, to hearing the rookies, I got to talk to Larry Borm, who was the fifth-round lineman, Justin Herbert, of course, the running back, and Daz Newsome, those were the people we got to talk to today. The Deion Schaefer wasn't able to talk today, and then right now they're going through practice, and afterwards Matt Nagy will be up to discuss. But to hear them, you know, talk about Justin Fields, they're like, man, do you see him crack a smile? It was like, I'm gonna look for it today, but you know, he's all business. Basically, he ain't had time for that. He said, and Larry Borum and Justin Herbert were attesting to the fact that when he was on the field, he was making sure they were getting cadences right. This is rookie minicamp. You know what I mean? And he's going over what makes a quarterback great. You
know what I mean? It makes me giddy when I hear these things. I should never be excited about fucking rookie minicamp, considering there's no tackling. There's not even anybody defending them. It's basically scrimmage, nigga. We're like,
yeah, it's like 7-on-7.
Yeah, but it's just to hear this shit, and we're gonna get into Justin Fields' comments later in the show. But it's just fun. It feels like different energy in that building right now. I'm really interested to see for non-mandatory OTAs who shows up. I think that's gonna tell you a lot. If we get a lot of starters show up, you're gonna tell niggas excited and they ready to get to work.
I think so too. And it's just there's a change within Hallis Hall, and God willing, you know, I don't know if we may have been late. Shout out to, of course, Terrence and the Bigs for the opportunity. I will never forget what they've done for us and allowed us to cover for them. But I'm not sure if we were on time to get our credentials for practice. But hopefully I'll be able to be at Hallis Hall and I can experience it in person, you know, and see what the vibes are. But just from hearing those players, all of them seem just to be, I think the four people I talked to, you know, I think every draft pick we have is going to make it onto the team. Justin Herbert is probably going to be someone used for kick returns. That's a loaded backfield for him to, you know, find himself in the position in.
Yeah, I'm about to say, when we talk about them, I think he's going to have to do like special things for a minute.
And kick return is something he's great at. With Cordarrelle Patterson gone, I think him and Daz Newsome will be the one and two on returning. And then Daz Newsome just is a fucking, you know, he's a playmaker. And so I'm really, really, really excited. It's a change within Hallis Hall. And it started with Justin Fields. And that is absolute truth. So, but I'm excited. You know, but should we get into voicemails right now?
Let's get into that.
Let's get into the voicemails. Let's see. I believe we have three. Let's see. All right, so we'll go to the first one, and we'll we'll see what they have to say.
Yo, yo, it's your boy BRC2 _. Big fan of what y'all doing, man. I just want to get the, you know, pleasantries out the way. Like, really appreciate what y'all doing and having a space for us Bears fans to vent, or actually these days be joyful. So with all that being said, fuck you, Mitchell Trubisky, for your minute against the beloved at Hallis Hall. I want to give a retroactive fuck you to Ryan Pace as well for making us endure that bullshit for 3 years. But also, thank you for doing your damn job, Ryan Pace. I really appreciate that I can go to my friends and be like, nigga, we got Justin Fields. You can't tell me shit no more. So with all that, I have a question in terms of the offense production. Maybe I've already touched on it at this point in the podcast, but a lot of talk is about Justin Fields, and we all know that, you know, we're well excited for him. But what do you think David Montgomery is going to do with Justin Fields at quarterback now? I think normally we look at the running game opens up things for the rookie quarterback, and I think this would be a special case in which the rookie quarterback opens up things for the already, you know, veteran running back. So I just wanted to see what you think he's going to do. Any predictions as far as, like, how many yards? I personally think he's going to get about 1,200 yards. I mean, he already got to 1,000, and he really didn't tote the rock until, like, week 7 through the rest of the season. So, sorry for long-winded, but bear down, excitement. We can buy tickets and not be looking like dickheads anymore. Just really excited, man. Bear down.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Good call too. Very, very good call. We appreciate you, man.
I do think that Justin Fields is going to open up space for him, which is, you know, it's crazy because this is a rookie quarterback and you're not expecting that. But I truly think he is so much of a threat that they're going to have their eyes peeled on him, that someone like David Montgomery will get yards a lot easier. You know, for a running back to get yards with a great quarterback and a great offensive passing system is what he should do. A solid running back would do that. To get that when all eyes are on you is even more impressive. You know, that's why someone like Walter Payton, who, you know, the GOAT, shout out to JP as well, and shout out to the entire Payton family.
We got to get JP back on the show soon.
Absolutely. But to watch, of course, Walter Payton deal with the fact that they never really had a passing game. Of course, this is back in the 70s and 80s when it was – there was just starting to become a transition to passing more. You know, you had the toward the end of the 80s, you know, you had the Dan Marinos, you had the Joe Montanas and all of that. But to see – have to put up even sometimes with terrible offensive lines, that to me was the mark of somebody who was, you know, on their way. And I think David Montgomery has what it makes to be a consistent 1,000-yard rusher. And I do think, you know, Justin Fields will open up everything for him, and it will be easier for him to get yards. He won't have to deal with the fact that they're putting Aiden in the box. But because he put Aiden in the box and someone like Justin Fields audibles, which he will, and, you know, and puts the defense on their back, you know, it creates problems for them. So they won't be Aiden in the box. And with the interior of the Bears offensive line being solid, and then having someone like, you know, Tevin Jenkins, who's a day one starter at offensive line, replacing either Massey or Leno spot. I'm not sure which side.
It's probably going to be Leno.
And then possibly Larry Borum being his opposite. There is a good chance this is an outstanding offensive line, and it will make things a lot easier for him. I know Tevin Jenkins' side, somebody getting blew up. You know, he's gonna blow up that defensive line. So,
yeah. And James Daniels is coming back. That's it. Now, I think the question here is not what is David Montgomery do. The question is, what the fuck is Matthew gonna do? Let's not get it fucked up. I am not off his case because we have a quarterback now. I've said on this podcast since the fucking Rams game in the 2018 season that he is a trash play caller. I thought that his play calling was just as bad, sometimes even worse, than Mitchell. Like, Mitchell's bad, but let's not sit up and act like Nagy did this motherfucker any favors. He didn't. I think it's a 50-50 thing. So the question is, is Nat Nagy going to get pass happy now that he has a quarterback who can throw? Don't abandon the run, especially when you have a beast back then, Dave Montgomery. Not only do you have a beast in Dave Montgomery, you got Tariq Cohen coming back, and you just signed Damian Williams, who really should have been the fucking Super Bowl MVP, if you want to be real. It shouldn't have been Patrick Mahomes. Let's keep it. I love Pat. Pat has played trash in 2 Super Bowls in a row. But that's a 2-minute drill conversation.
Honestly, my question is, will Tariq be getting less carries if Damian Williams does what he's supposed to do?
Damian Williams. Well, I'm not expecting him to be like, I think Damian would be number 2 on the depth. I'm thinking he'll use more Tariq in like screens and shit like that.
Let's see that. My thought is also with someone like, you know, you got Darnell Mooney, who is basically the number 2, you know.
Darnell Mooney is going to have such an impressive season. He burned so many niggas.
Bro, every time you hear about him in any article from any team, and from any organization, it's a steal in the 5th round. Basically, how it happened, if there's one thing I will give Ryan Pace credit for, he knows a lot of late round draft.
Yeah.
So when I saw Justin Herbert, when I saw Dez Newsome, I was like, how did he get this low? And I realized, of course, it's possibly because of being in North Carolina, but he's a utility belt player. So
that we have a lot of fucking speed on this roster, man. But I do think that if Nagy gives him the opportunity, Dave Montgomery's going to eat. He had 1,000 yards last year with the terrible offensive line for majority of the year. Not terrible, but a hurt offensive line for majority of the year. He's going to eat. Justin Fields is going to open up stuff for him. If Jenkins and Burham are what we hope they can be, it's going to be a great thing for him. Now, you were able to talk to Dez Newsome. You asked him the hard-hitting question about Harold's chicken.
I got to be honest, that was my most fun experience covering the Bears. He was asking what favorite food places. And he set this up himself because I forgot, was it Pat Finley? Somebody asked him, you know, have you had a chance to, you know, have food other than, you know, anything within La Hallis Hall? And he's like, no, man, I haven't been out just yet. And he was like, how about everybody who answers a question, let me know
what your favorite food places is. I immediately raised my hand. I'm like, oh no, bro. I'm black. I'm from the South Side. And it's so funny how black folks, how we do it when we know we're in a room with
it's that comfort.
It's the connection. So when somebody's saying, hey, you know, a lot of Chicago accents in there, you know, you gotta try some Portillo's, you know, you gotta get yourself some Lou Malnati's, and without fail,
get your nice brat.
You know what I'm saying? You gotta get yourself some Portillo's, you know, get your Broadway Pequod's on the north side. And
there's a white Chicago accent, there's a nigga Chicago accent.
They're entirely different. They don't even sound the same. Yeah. We sound
Southern.
We share similar words.
Yeah.
Like, guy. They say, you know, we're going to the guy. He said, where your card? Where your card? You know? But I was like, my first words were, yo, Daz. I immediately code switch back to black. You know what I mean? There's interview voice where it's like, all right, tell us about how you do the blah, 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 blah. And then there's, yo, bro. I was like, I'm from the South Side, bro. I was like, so you got to try you some Harold's chicken. You ain't heard of Harold's yet? He's like, no, I ain't heard of Harold's yet. And I was like, I'm like, trust me, bro. Harold's. And at that moment, because I was so giddy, I couldn't think to say, man, which one I'm going to tell him. But when I talk to him again, I want to build a rapport. And I'm going to tell him, bro, you got to go to the hood. At the same time, you need to send somebody to the hood because you're rich and famous.
We need to get Lero on here to tell us the updated Harold's power rankings.
Need the Harold's power ranking. I'm gonna tweet at him and say, bro, this is the Harold's power ranking. People telling him, you know, a lot of chain places, you know, Portillo's, Lou Malnati's, which are solid choices. Don't get me wrong. I still enjoy Harold. I'm not a Lou Malnati's guy, but I still enjoy Harold's every now and then. You know, not Harold's, but Portillo's every now and then. But the hard hitting, actual mind pop, or, you know, built in the city. And don't have, they may not necessarily have that national appeal to it, because of course, you know, something like Portillo's is not just in Chicago. It's been in other states for quite some time. Whereas Harold's is just starting to branch its wings. And I was like,
Harold's is in Atlanta and LA.
You know what I mean? I'm like, this is a South Side tradition. And I was like, get you some Harold. We got some folks from Seventh and Hollis Face to Uncle Remus. I'm going to block you.
By the way, right now, Uncle Remus is not bad chicken. It's just not here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, since we're Bears fans, even though you're from the West Side, I will make a peace offering to you. Uncle Remus is solid chicken.
It's good chicken. I've only had it twice in my life, but it's good.
I don't necessarily like their version of mild sauce.
Sauce is trash. It's too. If it tastes like barbecue sauce,
it's just it's not mild sauce. If you feel me. It's their mild sauce.
Yeah.
And so, you know, having that experience talking to him, I'm really up on Larry Borm. I really think he's going to be a stud. You know what I mean? And Khalil Herbert, you would be remiss to not put Khalil Herbert on the team. I think all four of those guys, in addition to, of course, Tevin, you know one thing for sure. Tevin Jenkins, Justin Fields, they're starters.
Well, we're going to get into the actual breakdown in a minute before we go too much into that. We have two more voicemails, right?
Yeah, that's right. Let's get into the second one.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is OrloT6 at Twitter. Just want to say, man, congrats, Dr. Brother, on you, getting your future PhD.
Appreciate it.
And to Scott, man, y'all just doing such a great job on all the pods and everything that fucks with it. But, man, what a difference a fucking draft can make. Because I am so fucking excited, man. It's just crazy. You finally drafted the quarterback that we all should have drafted for fucking Pace. Should have drafted Mahomes or the Nasty Man.
That's in the past.
But, you know, it's just such a wonderful feeling to have, man. And then the rest of the draft class with Newsom and Jenkins and everyone. I really like the Newsom pick. Man, reading all the reports, all the tweets and shit from rookie minicamp, they were really liking Newsom. And just like the praise and just like the total difference with Justin Fields' rookie camp compared to Mitch's. I mean, they were like, it's arm strength, his accuracy, how he already knows. Like, it seems like he just belongs out there. Yo, man, I'm fucking excited. And also, Green Bay, fuck you. Because your time is gone. It's over. Jordan Love and Blake Bortles for your fucking season. Suck my dick.
Shout out to Olo Ortiz. We always clown him on summer sessions.
I just want to say shout out to Olo Ortiz. Enjoy the bottom of the NL Central. Just want to get that out there right there. what he was saying is like the thing about the Mahomes thing, we always go over that. This one thing about Justin Fields, there might not be a 30 for 30 anymore. There might be like at the most, there might be a little segment on outside the lines.
But it's going to end with, but the Bears found their future.
Right. They're not going to do a whole 30 for 30 on it no more because we have Justin Fields. Like, it's not, especially if it's like, could you imagine if it's Justin Fields versus Patrick Mahomes on the Super Bowl? Can we beat them?
Redemption.
I'm like
Patrick Mahomes, host? But
yeah, man, and that's going to be beautiful. But yeah, it's crazy how one draft can change everything. I was not getting, like, I tell you before the draft, I was not excited to do this season 79 Dallas. I was not. I was just like, man, I hope the White Sox have a deep playoff run, and I hope the Bulls have a great offseason, because this is going to be a long football season. Now, I can't fucking wait to September. So I agree with him on that, man. It's funny how things change so quickly.
Yeah. No, I'm just excited. We'll get into that. Let's get to our next one.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Oliver T6 again. I also want to add, hey, that Hakuna Matata. Yo, man, why do you look like Fred Van Vliet so much? And every time you get cut up, you be posting your little videos on Twitter and shit. You get like the Fred Van Vliet template? Like, do they have like that poster? Like, let me get that. Anyway, bear down again.
I love slander within the voicemails. My boy Isaiah got to come back. You just can't let that happen.
Yeah, you can't let that ride. Of course, he'll hear this when he listens to this podcast, man. But that's all the voicemails?
That's all the voicemails. So let's get into the actual rundown.
Yeah. Let's talk about Justin Fields' mini camp press conference, man. I was a little bit too excited for. I think somebody tweeted the GIF of the girl like squirming us in her seat on Five Heartbeats when Eddie Kane was singing. He said, this is all Bears fans when you think Justin Fields does. I was like, bro, this is fucking spot on.
His first interception is not going to be his fault, and I don't care.
I'm going to blame Allen Robinson, because you know how he likes to tip balls into the corner's hands.
I'm like, clearly this is Allen Robinson's fault. I'm telling you, as I told Scott on Twitter, I said, I'm going to be the Hulk Harrelson of 79th and Hollis. I'm just going to straight up not find fault.
Yeah. By the way, the team already likes this nigga, man. Eddie Jackson just reposted Justin Fields' Instagram post on the story that said first day of the job. I'm telling you, this defense is going to play so much harder than they did the last 2 years.
Bro.
One, we got a new DC who he's going to bring more of a Fangio approach that we all been wanting, because I don't know what the fuck Pagano was doing the last 2 years. But now they know that they can score points. I'm telling you, you're going to see that defense that we saw in 2018. You're going to see Khalil Mack be Khalil Mack. You're going to see Akeem Hicks. You're going to see all these guys. And we get Eddie Goldman back. I don't think people really realize how big of a loss Eddie Goldman was for this team. He's arguably the third best defender on this team. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be huge. But with Justin, what I loved just about Justin Fields' comments, man, was – Maybe he's not happy to be there. He smiled like a motherfucker in that press conference. Lions fans, so shut your bitch ass up and enjoy fucking Jared Goff, nigga. And so it was just exciting to see. And like he said, they're like, oh, I'm studying the players already, the offense already. I'm talking to Coach Nagy and the other offensive coaches. Then he said, after he gets done talking to them, he's written down the plays on cue cards and he goes over them for 45 minutes. And then it was like, are you worried about the spotlights? Man, I've been in the spotlight since I was 17 years old. I was like, talk to him, King. Talk to him. And that's another thing. Like, I'm not going to compare him to LeBron, obviously. LeBron was on fucking Sports Illustrated at 16 years old. But he's been in the spotlight since he was 17. Him and Trevor Lawrence have been 1A, 1B since they were in high school, bro. Like, this is the Magic Bird thing of college. I mean, football. This is, and if we're getting Magic Johnson, that means we're getting more championships. So this is the thing right here. Like this, everybody's talking, oh, well, you don't want to bring him into. He's ready for this, bro. This isn't a project. Like, there's only out of the five quarterbacks taken in this draft, there's two niggas who are not a project. It is Trevor Lawrence and it's Justin Fields. All the mother niggas, Zach Wilson, Trey Biskey, as I like to call him. I'm not sold on Trey Lance in the fucking slightest at all, nigga.
I'm not either.
Like, now granted, he's gonna have Shanahan with him,
which is an excellent motor of young talent.
Yeah, I don't believe in Matt Jones, but he's got hoodie with him and he's got mini hoodie with him. He has a chance to be good. He's not gonna play this year because he got Cam. They said it's gonna be him and they're gonna be Bertier and Julius with the Titans. But I'm excited about this, man. You can see the confidence beaming out of this kid. You can just see he's ready. He's not taking mini camp lightly. He's acting like this is fucking regular training camp.
Bro, when they said he was out there so discussing cadences and making sure they had plays, but I'm like, bro, nobody knows the plays yet. Yet it's like, I'm business. I'm here to win. And, bro, like, what more do you want out of a quarterback, dog? You know what
I'm saying? And also want to give a shout out to Nick Foles. He said the first person to call him was Nick Foles. Nick Foles is, even though Nick Foles stank last year, I think Nick Foles is one of the best guys in the league. I think he's a good mentor for Justin Fields and them.
I think so, too. Like, I honestly thought he has a future in coaching.
Yeah, for real.
Simply
for him to be the first one to call him was awesome.
Yeah, he knows the playbook so well.
Yeah. Can't throw it, but he know the playbook. Anyway, so that's all. I'm just excited. I'm excited for him. He sound like a leader. It feels different. It doesn't feel like – and just to see Mark Potash had like a – he said he's going to have 100 tweets about Justin Fields in the minicamp. And he was just like – he said, I understand that this is, you know, not contact, that you're not really even playing the actual game. He said, but I've been to – rookie mini camps every year, and I've never seen no shit like this. And this is somebody who's covered the Bears for decades.
Legendary, bro.
And he said he's been to rookie camp year after year after year. He said, I've never seen a quarterback look that good. And he's not the only one to say this. Like, there's been nationally, people are talking about this kid. Like, did you watch the Mark Sanchez interview?
Yes.
Dude's been having fucking orgasm talking to fucking Justin. He's like, he said, oh my God, what you doing this play right here, Justin?
You want to tell us what you do here?
He's like, if you look at the QB accuracy test, Patrick Mahomes had a 110 on it. This guy had a fucking 130. So that is just, it's exciting to see that, man, to see the leadership already. I mean, Daz Newsome said that the first person to call him after Coach Nagy was Justin Fields on draft day.
Draft day, brother.
And told him, let's work. We saw the pitches last weekend. Who's working? Justin Fields and Marquise Goodwin. This is a vet receiver working with a rook.
There's gonna be some veterans on who on the Bears out of a job, but that's another story. I'm telling you, because
and then Jeremy Fowler said the Bears want a true alpha as QB1 and love Justin Fields' early confidence. I'm telling you, we're gonna get into when we predict he's gonna play, but I got some takes on that. But how did you feel about his first press conference?
I only saw it. I wasn't getting my hair done. It took forever. But I did get a chance to watch it, and he just exudes confidence. And I would, you know, he always said, I don't have a chip on his shoulder. You know, I didn't get picked here. I didn't pick that. And at first I didn't believe him, but then look at his history. He's been number two, yet has had the success and talent of number one. Who has he had to play behind most of his career? Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
He has been number two to Trevor Lawrence and Trevor Lawrence alone.
And who did he outplay in his last game?
Trevor Lawrence. What was Trevor last Lawrence. Game? Last game was
his last game. Bama. Oh, I forgot the national championship. Yeah,
it's Bama. I mean, at this point, what
Bama got a fucking NFL style defense, bro. Like,
if it's Nick Saban is the greatest college coach of all time, it's not even remotely close.
Yeah.
And if it's one thing he does is he recruits like.
Nick
monster.
Saban, a.k.a. Coach Boone. Y'all getting a lot of Room of the Titans references out here.
I watched Room of the Titans recently. Such a fantastic
movie. Top three Denzel movie. Fight me.
But, yeah, he looked good. I'm just going to run down everybody who I saw.
Okay. You know,
we might as well. He looks great. And it's funny because everybody's press conference was about Justin Fields, except Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins and even Larry Borum, too. Larry Borum, because those three represent who I think are going to be starters. Immediately, at least have a chance to compete for a starter, a starting position. But I just watching them, and of course, for everybody who wants to know the specific players, we got, of course, you know, pick 11, round number one, we're never going to forget it, was Justin Fields. Number two, of course, was Tevin Jenkins, which I don't know how he failed. Even everybody was like,
we traded up for Tevin Jenkins. We traded up for him.
Well, I'm saying failed to the second round.
Oh, okay.
The next pick, of course, was Larry Borm. He comes out of Missouri. And those are the three that I think are going to be stars. After that, you got Khalil Herbert, who is was outstanding at Virginia Tech. I forgot what school he transferred from, but he's a very versatile player. After that, you have Daz Newsome, who is just, once again, playmaker. If there's anything the Bears may have a lot of that you wouldn't expect to say, it's freaking playmakers.
I've got the "that nigga Daz" tweets fired up.
But then Thomas Graham from Oregon. I'm intrigued. Because how many six-round picks did the Bears have? Three? They had three six-round picks. Actually, no, it's three. But he was a very good corner at Oregon. And with Kyle Fuller not being here, what did Kyle Fuller sign?
He went to Denver? Broncos, a.k.a. Bears West. Then they signed where did Charles Leno go to? Charles Leno went to
I thought he went to Denver, too.
No, he went to Washington, didn't he?
Went to Washington?
Why did he go to Denver? Let me see. I'm just glad he's gone. I don't really care where he went.
I mean, he is with Washington. You're right.
Yeah, he went Washington. Yeah.
I will say Charles Leno was always. I have nothing ill to say of Charles Leno because he was one of the few players, regardless of losses, who always wanted to speak, always engaging. He was funny.
Class personified.
Class personified. Classy guy. And I'll always respect him for me being in my first year. I'm going into my second year covering the Bears. I'm not a rookie anymore, but I'm still learning, and he made interviews easier for me, so I really respect him for that, and I wish him luck in Washington. I do wish him luck. After you had Thomas Graham from Oregon, you have Kyrus Tonga from BYU, which is, he's for depth. If there's anything the Bears have learned, is you can never have too much depth. Isn't just what Chicago teams period have learned. Look at the Chicago White Sox, first place. Don't forget that.
First place in the league. All of Major League Baseball.
Having too much depth is a beauty and a privilege. You know what I mean? Because all I think about right now when I'm thinking of Yearn, Andrew Vaughn, and Pito, I'm like, what the hell are they going to play at? But isn't that better than saying, man, who the hell are we going to get?
By the way, everybody told me, depth, kiss my ass. What depth do you have? Billy Hamilton. Making plays, looking like Dwayne Wise at center field the other day. Kiss my ass. Depth.
Hamilton is so freaking fast, bro.
Good. Depth. Bro, he saved Liam Hendricks' ass the other day. That was like a three-run trip when I was coming.
Yeah. Where did he come from? What team?
He think he was with the Cubs last year, wasn't he?
Isn't it better, us being Sox fans, saying, man, where are these players going to play? Than saying, oh, man, I wish we had somebody.
All of this without your two superstars.
You know what I'm saying? It's so much better to say, man, I don't know where to put these people because you have so much depth. And I think that Tonga is depth. And I think that Thomas Graham, he might have a chance just to compete for an open spot.
Yeah, I'm about to say Thomas Graham might have a chance to compete because we forget Kyle Fuller's gone. And if my boy Jalen Johnson is healthy –
I think it's a big leap coming,
bro.
And he was, bro. I've never seen a rookie targeted so much.
And he was killing niggas.
Killer. But I think every single person the Bears drafted is getting drafted. I can't say signed. Every single person the Bears drafted is going to make the team. I really don't know the statistics of drafting, and after a certain round, how many people get there. But Tonga's going to get signed because they need depth. Graham's going to get signed. Daz Newsome is surely going to get signed. Khalil Herbert is going to get signed. He might have a little bit. I'm not sure if him or Dad.
If I had to bet out of all these who has the least chance against that, it would be Khalil Herbert. But I still think he's going to get signed. But if I had to like rank them, just because the running back position is so stacked.
But you never realize we got a lot of wide receivers too. It's going to be open competition for wide receiver.
Riley Ridley might be up out of there.
Javon Williams is going to be up out of there.
Anthony Miller. I know we had this later on in the rundown, but I'm going to just bring it up right now. What do we expect from Anthony Miller this year?
I think he's going to finally bounce back.
I think
the talent is there, bro.
The talent is there. I think he last year was more him doing bonehead shit.
No.
More than anything. And then
it wasn't like with Darnell Mooney, where Darnell Mooney was killing despite there was a whole video like minutes long of him being overthrown. And I was like, he beat his man every time and he wasn't getting the ball, but he put his head down and never said anything. Whereas with Anthony Miller, you could see visible frustration on the field. And that's not necessarily a great thing. It's never a great thing to me.
But I also think it was visible frustration because he was getting phased out for Darnell Mooney.
Yeah.
Like, remember, when we started the season, we thought he was going to be number two on the depth chart.
Yeah.
And then Darnell Mooney just fucking, you know, came out of fucking nowhere. But yeah, I think – and also there were some times where Mitch and Foles just couldn't hit him, and he was open.
Yeah.
So you got to put that into account, too. I'm ready to give Anthony Miller a second chance just because how bad our quarterback room was.
Yeah.
But there's going to be competition.
I think that Daz and Justin are both going to be kicking. Daz is going to be punt returner for sure. And I think Justin will be a kick returner. Kick returner, for that punt returner, there are very few people now who are as skilled as Devin Hester or what's my man's who used to
You can be. Never have a Devin Hester in today's game from the way that the rules are set.
Yeah. Yeah. But on top of that, most players are not both. Cordarrelle Patterson was both.
Yeah.
But there are several times. Actually, Cordarrelle Patterson, several times he didn't return punts. You know, he was returning kicks primarily, and then Anthony Miller returned a few of them.
He was terrible at it.
Yeah, not the greatest, but I think Justin and Daz are going to be – like I told Daz, I said, you know, you have a chance to make, you know, play. You know, they're looking for playmakers. How do you feel? And he's like, man, I'm just going to put my head down and do my job. I said, that's all you need. Speaking about the rest of the roster, you know, talking to Daz, I didn't get a chance to talk to Thomas Graham Tonga. I'm not sure if that is tomorrow. I'd have to go through my email and check specifically what the rundown is. And let's
About Tonga that I like about Tonga, man, that's a big fucking dude, man.
Big nigga, bro.
You can rotate him with Eddie Goldman.
Yeah. Tomorrow is Graham and Tonga at 11:15.
Okay.
If I get the credentials, I'll be there. So that's just gonna be hella fun.
Okay.
So I haven't heard from them yet, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, Tonga, like I said, Tonga's a big dude. You can rotate him with Eddie Goldman. It's gonna be hard for niggas to get past that motherfucker. Like, it's and you know, with the run game, that's one thing that running backs had a lot of success on this last year because we did not have Eddie Goldman. That shit is dead.
Yeah.
That shit, you're not fucking running those anymore. So I'm excited about them. I do think, the for sure starters, Justin Fields, obviously, and Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins, not only is he going to be a beast on the field, he's a very colorful guy off the field.
It's funny, we're asking Larry Borm, you know, what do you think about that mean streak of Tevin Jenkins? He was like, this is one thing I share is we both have a mean streak, but off the field, he's just a good, goofy dude. And I was like, the people who have the mean streaks on the field typically are good people outside of it. It's the same as, like, some of the toughest fighters, like if you look in the UFC and see someone like Khabib and Daniel Cormier, who's retired, Khabib is retired too. Who is my man who was who's hella swole? Bald head and swole. I cannot think of his name. He's Brazilian. I'm just going to literally look up UFC.
Bald Brazilian. Head and swole. That really numbers it down.
That that does not help, but he is one of the hardest. Anthony Rumble Johnson. One of, if not the hardest hitter in UFC history, but of course, he has some other run-ins with the law, but amongst his friends, you know, known as just a great person. Junior Dos Santos, Lyoto Machida, the meanest people within it often tend to be the nicest people off it. And that's just, you know, I think people who really have that strength and know they have that strength don't have to force it. But on the field, if it's one thing that you learn when you're younger, is that you need a mean streak. When I coach music, hit it. When I played against what is that? I cannot think that suburb. Bolingbrook. There we go. We played against Bolingbrook my senior year. And first of all, let me remind you, nigga, their entire defense went D1. I've never seen that in high school before. The entire defense went D1. They had a right tackle. And our coach, Coach Raposi, looked at us and said, I'm going to tell you this right now. Their right tackle is the meanest high school tackle I've ever seen. Right guard is the meanest guard I've ever seen in my life. He's like, he's on the field. He wants to kill you. and he was mowing people down. And it's the same when you saw Tevin Jenkins. So, man, I am just, it's amazing what one draft can do.
Can I give a stat for y'all? Jalen Johnson, 14 forced incompletions in 2020, led all rookies.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. And he missed half the season.
It is special.
Special. Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm excited about it, man. Let's get into some of the signings that happened before the draft that we didn't really talk about because we didn't give a fuck because we expected Andy Dalton to lead this team. And that is Marquise Goodwin, Damian Williams, and Damir Bird. Damir Bird had a career year last year with the New England Patriots. Damian Williams is all we know. He was a Super Bowl hero in that Kansas City Chiefs comeback 2 years ago, which he should have been Super Bowl MVP. And I'm not just saying that because he's the motherfucking on the Bears now. I said this the night it happened when I was drunk all fucking Casamigos at the Super Bowl party. He should have been a fucking Super Bowl MVP. He's on the team. And Marquise Goodwin, love this signing. Love it. He's real speedster. One of the receivers on the 49ers last couple of years. Was one of their stars when they went to Super Bowl 2 years ago. If we had to, what do you feel about all three? I love all three of these signings.
Every single one. Loved every single one.
You know what I'm saying? Damir Bird, he can probably – is he more – it can be slot or is he – I'm not too sure, like, what exactly his role will be. Like, can he, like, compete in that – like, what's it going to be
in your opinion? Damir Bird will probably be your slot position.
Okay.
This is someone who's been – he was drafted by the Panthers, I think, in, like, 2014, 2015. Why does my phone always rings on here?
Because you have it – you have it on your fucking table, bro. Put it on your bed.
He was 2014, 2015, and he's sort of a utility guy, you know what I mean? He played a good chunk. I think he had some of his best stats with the Patriots last year. If he didn't start all 16 games, he had to start at least 13, and he had some really good reception numbers. But at his height, he's going, it's just, man, I say with the slot position, good luck. That is a free-for-all, you know what I mean? Because how many wide receivers do you typically have on an active roster? 5, 6?
Around 5.
Somebody's getting cut.
Somebody definitely getting cut.
You know what I mean?
I hate to say it. I think it's going to be my man, Riley Ridley. I think he's getting cut.
Yeah.
I think he's getting cut.
Yeah.
I love all three. My favorite one is probably the Damian Williams signing because he's going to be that threat right there. The second guy who can legit run the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And he can catch just as well as you know, that he can run. And we've seen how he can be in this fucking system. It's not like, remember we thought we was going to have Run DMC 3 years ago, and then they completely said, fuck Mike Davis. It wasn't even that Mike Davis was trash. I don't even think they gave that nigga opportunity. Because remember when fucking, what's my man, white boy up in Carolina? What's they running back name?
McCaffrey.
McCaffrey got out. Mike Davis was cooking.
Yeah.
So then I don't even think they really gave his ass the opportunity. And I think Damian Williams is better than Mike Davis. So I love that signing. Marquise Goodwin, love it. Very much so. That dude is a speed demon. I'm telling you right now, Allen Robinson is about to have the best year of his fucking career. And also, I said that he was going to sign during the offseason. Before training camp, I disagree because now that he has a quarterback, he can boost his stock up.
Yeah,
he go out there, he can bet on himself, have a career year, and tell the Bears, pay me, nigga.
Yeah,
see what I can do with a great quarterback. He's gonna have his, and then also he's got a good wide receiver room. And Marquise Goodwin, he's going to be a beast. I just can't wait to see the speed on this roster pay off. Some of those bullshit bubble screens that Nagy likes to call so much might work this time. They might work this time if the offensive line blocks and we got niggas who are actually fast now. So I'm excited about that one. I love all three of those. Those are three really good signings by Ryan Pace.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm really excited. I'm not sure if I'm more excited for Marquise or Damian Williams. Damian Williams having that speed. I really don't know. But I am thoroughly, thoroughly, thoroughly excited. Man, it's hard to put it into words. If it makes sense, to have expected a trash season to holy crap, everything has entirely been flipped on its head. I'm at a freaking loss for words. But yeah, now of course moving into Anthony Miller.
We already talked about him. Dude. Yeah, we brought that up.
We talked it, but we didn't say what do we think is going to happen with him specifically. I briefly touched and said, you know, I think he's going to have a better year. But what do you think?
I think he'll. I'm giving him a second chance. I'm not gonna predict what he's gonna do because I have no fucking idea.
On top of that, he was dealt a bad hand in Mitchell Trubisky, in you know, from the start of his career.
He was dealt a bad hand. He was.
Allen Robinson,
and Darnell Mooney did pretty decent with that hand. with all that being said, they did pretty decent on the hand. But I am rooting for Ant. I like Anthony Miller. I hope he does well. That would be a big asset to this team. One thing I want Anthony Miller to stop doing. I saw this little tweet this a couple days ago. Don't be a fan when this come back around. First of all, nigga, don't get mad at us. We're not wrongfully going in on your ass. You stink last year. It's just that fucking, like, I hate when Tariq Cohen did the same bullshit, you know, when he scored a touchdown and then told the crowd to be quiet. No, don't tell us to be quiet. You're playing like shit. You play like shit, you don't get screwed, you don't get booed at. That's how Chicago sports is. In anything. Liam Hendricks threw three balls yesterday. What the crowd do? Boo! If you don't like it, don't play in fucking Chicago. That's how the fuck we get down, bro. Philly is worse than us. So it could be worse. Yeah. And by the way, a side note, I just want to say all prayers out to Tariq Cohen and his family, man.
Yeah.
Very brutal thing happened this last week, man. So your whole family's in our thoughts and prayers. But Anthony Miller.
To emphasize on it, family is much more important than football. I don't know if you even hear it, but I don't care what anybody else says, bro. It's more important. You know what I mean? You take all the time you need to grieve, and I'm praying for you as a Christian. And so I'm hoping that, you know, you all are able to cope and get through this trauma. So.
Reverend Lewis, everybody. So like I was saying about Anthony Miller, I hope he does well. I'm not making any predictions. I'm not. He better hope dads don't have a great camp. That's all I'm going to say. Because his job is very much on the line. He's actually lucky he didn't get cut or traded. Because I thought that nigga was out of here. So, you got one last chance. Let's see what you do with it, pal.
Yeah, yeah.
Before we get into the schedule, I want to talk about, so it's a 17-game schedule this year. Very excited. 18 weeks of fucking football and expanded.
Didn't the players not want this?
Yes, fuck that. I'm not a player. I am a fan. 18 weeks of football with expanded players. Super Wild Card weekend last year was amazing. It was amazing.
It was.
So we've got almost 25 weeks of football. It's fucking glorious, bro. And just the schedule in general that came out this week. There's a lot of juicy matchups around the league, a lot of storylines around the league that I can't wait to get into whenever we do 2-minute drill. And it's a lot of things like autumn. The Packer game's been funny because we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be here. And I have a question for you. I'm 50-50 on this.
Yeah.
Before we get into when you think Justin Fields is going to start. I'm 50-50 on the Aaron Rodgers thing. Part of me wants him to just leave, right? Yeah. The other part of me kind of wants to push this bastard in the dirt with Justin Fields. I kind of want to like kick his ass for all the years of pain I had.
Yeah.
Like I'm fine with either way, honestly.
I think I don't know. I would be 50-50 on the actuality of it happened, but I don't want him to leave. I want him to get buried. You can get buried.
So you want to stay.
You can die when we give you permission. You know what I'm saying? I want his legacy to end. His legacy is going to be he destroyed us. You can't escape that. And I won't even, you know, be salty about it. That's the truth. But I want him to be buried.
I kind of wanted to be like with Brett Favre. Never forget. Never forget. Brett Favre's last game as a pro, we put him in the dirt. Who did that? Who knocked him out the game? That fucking Trump voter, Brian Urlacher, knocked that nigga out the game in the year. And we won the fucking division that game in the snow. Remember, Devin Hester, two kick returns. In the snow, we won the 2010 division, NFC North champions, and he did not come back in the game. I take great pride in that.
I do too.
So I kind of wonder, like, if he leaves, and which I don't know how this thing is going to end, because I really feel like Green Bay is going to be like, nigga, I don't give a fuck. Retire. I really think Green Bay is going to pull his car. Because they like, nigga, I'm not trading you.
I think what they don't realize is that if it's one thing I do think, you know, someone who gets into it, it's family, brother. I'm pretty sure if he ain't coming back, he ain't going to come back.
Yeah, but so, is he going to actually retire? Because then he owes Green Bay money.
He gonna get that Jeopardy money and have
now, plenty of money. If there's any nigga who would do this, it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers is king petty. Brett Favre said this week on the radio that if Rodgers is done with you, he's done with you, and there's nothing you can say to bring him back. So I do believe there's any nigga who would just walk away is Aaron Rodgers. I still find it hard to believe, and I think the Packers can maybe win that situation.
How much will he owe him is the question? I'm gonna owe them is the question.
It'd be like $13 million.
Ooh, I'd have to play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like $13 million. That's why I think he's gonna come back. I'm fine with that. I'm fine. I know Packers fans gonna talk this shit. Yeah, we still run the division now. Okay, which he made a career out of kicking the ass of a terrible division.
Yeah,
let's see how you are. We got a nigga we can throw.
Yeah,
so I'm good either way, man.
I think the entire division is gonna improve. So,
I mean.
I think the Lions are going to improve with Jared Goff. Vikings, I don't know. I don't know what the
you think
Vikings
Jared Goff is better than Matthew Stafford?
I think for their team, he might provide them with a bit of a spark. Better? Of course not. Matthew Stafford is going to the Hall of Fame.
Jared Goff. You sure about that?
Positive.
I don't like Stephen A. I don't know about that.
I think Stafford's a bro.
I don't know about that.
Look at his career numbers.
Hall of Fame?
He's 33, bro. He's 33.
Hall of Fame, though.
Freshly 33, bro.
It's hard to get into the Football Hall of Fame.
Nigga, he has thrown almost 50,000 yards. And he's going to approach 300 touchdowns this year.
I got to look at
it's the Hall of Fame, bro.
I got to look at the stats of the quarterbacks we're in.
90 passer rating his for his career, bro.
But his era is going to be accounted to that.
Even still, you know, of course, because when it comes to football, it ain't about the Pro Bowls you make. It's about the stats you did on the
field. Yeah, nobody cares about fucking
Pro Bowls. Nobody gives a shit about Pro Bowls. It's about the stats you did on the field. Somebody with 300 touchdowns and 50,000 yards passing, and he's going to go to a team that will protect him more. I don't see how he doesn't have another 5-6 years left in the league.
Oh, I think he's going to cook in L.A. When we talk about the Detroit thing, I think Jared Goff is worse than Matthew Stafford. And if he couldn't fucking do good with fucking Sean McVay, I don't know who the hell they got calling plays in Detroit, but it ain't fucking Sean McVay.
Well, he did do good. I mean, he went to the Super Bowl. Was it because of him? No.
Aaron Donald and Ty Gurley took us to the Super Bowl.
True.
So, but yeah.
Going to the schedule. I'm ready for the schedule. Shut up.
Yeah, okay. Okay, before we go to the schedule, what week is Justin Fields going to start?
Sunday, September 11th, Los Angeles Rams, 7:20 p.m.
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I hate everybody bringing up the Mahomes, Alex Smith shit.
Alex Smith was cooking.
Not only was Alex Smith cooking, bro, I think I have a stat here of what happened with Alex Smith. Like the years of the Alex Smith thing. Hold on. I got this. I retweeted it on 79th and Hallis yesterday. Here we go. When Fields Dalton is compared to Mahomes Smith, remember this. 2015, the Chiefs went 11-5 with Alex Smith. In 2006, the Chiefs went 12-4 with Alex Smith. I said 2006. 2016, the Chiefs went 12-4 with Alex Smith. In 2017, the Chiefs went 10-6. With Alex Smith, and Alex Smith had a fucking career year. He had a career. He had 26 touchdowns and 5 interceptions that year. And they all won a division all 3 of those years. Yeah. It's not the same thing. If you want to compare anything to this, compare this to Russell Wilson and Matt Flynn. That is a better comparison, even though I'm not going to disrespect Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton's a better player than fucking Matt Flynn, obviously. But Andy Dalton's still learning this offense, too. Andy Dalton's not a son of Reed. He don't know this offense. So he's going to be learning it just like fucking Justin Fields. And I think Justin Fields is going to pick it up. And I'm telling you right now, those vets who don't know if they're going to be here next year are going to put pressure on this nigga Nagy. If these guys love Justin Fields, they feel he's ready, he's going to be the starter. And I'm telling you right now, Matt Nagy is a fucking liar. I believe that week one at SoFi Stadium, I will be fucking getting hammered, my nigga. in Hollywood Park, getting ready for that game. It's going to be Justin Fields versus Matthew Stafford. Week one. I see no way that Andy Dalton starts. And I don't give a shit what you niggas try to tell me. Andy Dalton's not going to be a starter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's get into the schedule. I'm going to name off the schedule, and then we're just going to name off some of our games that we're looking forward to. We're not going to do any predictions. It's fucking May. We don't know what the fuck this team is going to look like in 4 months. So there's no point of us predicting. We start off the season week one in Los Angeles, Sunday Night Football. Against the Los Angeles Rams. We come home for our home opener against the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow. We might get a Burrow versus Fields matchup, two of the young quarterbacks in the league. And by the way, for the first time in, I think, franchise history, there's no back-to-back road or home games. They rotate the entire season. So that's kind of weird. I never saw that before. Then we go on a road, big game against Cleveland and the dog pound against Baker Mayfield and those guys. Come home against Detroit. First time seeing Jared Goff, which we love seeing. Then a week after, we're in Vegas. Vegas on the 10th. That's going to be a birthday trip for me. That's going to be fun to see that new stadium out there. So that's going to be good against the Raiders. And then we have our first game against the Packers. Huh? Justin Fields, Blake Bortles. Must-see TV. That's going to be fun. Then we go on the road to Tampa to go see the champs. Tom Brady and those guys over there. We come home on Halloween to face the San Francisco 49ers. Then we're back on the road the next week, Monday Night Football against that criminal, Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. We have our bye week in week 10. We open up at home, big matchup at the crib. It's going to be Justin Fields versus Lamar Jackson. That should be fun. Then we're on the road on Thanksgiving. I feel like this is third or fourth time on Thanksgiving and we played Detroit. I'm looking forward to ruining their Thanksgiving dinner once again. Then we come back at home. We're going to be seeing Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Then we got Sunday Night Football next week in Green Bay. Blake Bortles revenge game, maybe on tap. Then we come home, Monday Night Football, for our first matchup against the Vikings. We go on the road to see Russ and them in Seattle. Come home against the Giants. And then we close out the season. I feel like we close out the season against the fucking Vikings for like 4 or 5 years in a row. I'm kind of tired of it. So we end the season January 9th, 2022 in Minnesota. What are some games that you're looking forward to on this schedule?
Rams, week one, obviously. The Packers, October 17th. I mean, that's big. The Niners, just because the Niners are reinvigorated as a team, and I want to see – and I think they represent a favorite out of the NFC, so I want to see where the Bears would stack up. That's probably about it. Seahawks, you know, a little bit. Giants, I'm intrigued just to see. But that's about it. That's about those. Everything else, of course, is just typical, and I'm not. Of course, the Thanksgiving game, you know. Hopefully we'll be amongst family, and I would love to see – watch the Bears win. So those are my must-see games.
Definitely week one. I'm going to be excited for that game. I'm waiting to see if I'm going to buy tickets so I get the official Justin Fields announcement they'll be starting, but I'm excited to see that one. I'm excited to see the Raiders game just to see how many Bears fans are in Vegas. I'm really excited to see Lamar Jackson versus Justin Fields. That's going to be a fun game to see there. Of course, the Green Bay Packers games are fun. Seattle's going to be fun. And, of course, it's going to be fun to see the GOAT, Thomas Brady. You know, he's going to be wanting revenge for us beating him last year. So those are probably the games that I'm most excited to see, man. It's going to be a fun season. And I'm looking forward to it, man. Looking forward to it. This will be the last episode of this podcast for 3 months. Sorry to disappoint. But, you know, we don't usually do another podcast till after training camp is over, till after – preseason is over. There's only three preseason games this year. There's really nothing to update week by week during training camp that you can't put on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
we're gonna do our season preview like probably the week or two before the actual season. So y'all enjoy y'all fucking summer. Stay tuned at 79th and Hallis on Twitter. We're gonna have all your off-season updates like we've been continuing to doing, all the press conferences. We're going to, you know, Flows is going to be, going to be still covering rookie minicamp. We got OTAs coming up in a couple weeks. And we got training camp in 2 months. Before you know it, we're going to be rocking and rolling, man. So you know where to follow us at Bar Chair Scott, at Flows Andolini, at Barbers Chat Net, at Twitter and Instagram, patreon.com/Barbers Chat Network. I keep telling y'all it's coming. Cinema with the Guy Soprano season 3 is coming. It's coming. I know y'all tired of hearing me saying that shit, but it's coming, man. We are out. We'll holler at y'all.